pure, all grown up, knowing that another's difference does not underestimate or undetermine my uniqueness nor my value. Knowing that diversity need not diminish unity, difference need not diminish togetherness. More than that, knowing that together we affirm, enhance, and embolden one another to embrace our differences and to find strength in the completeness we lend to one another. Well, good morning, everyone. I continue this morning with our look at the book of Ephesians and what it means to be church and our place within that. Welcome to any visitors who are with us this morning. You're very welcome. We do have tea and coffee through in the hall after the service. Please join us there. And also to those that are listening online or through the CDs, I hope you enjoy your time with us too. The order of service has a number of different intimations, most of which I'm going to leave you to read yourself, but I've got two just to add. The magazine, the September magazine, which is delivered to every house in the parish, is ready to be delivered. So the table for, I think, Maltimber's there, Beeldside's there, and Colts is there. Feel free to take a bundle. It has the addresses on the front for the streets that those are intended to, and we can get these out as soon as we can over the next week or so to every house in the parish. Last week we introduced a little departing song, As We Go Now, which you'll find the words of in your order of service. Just to sort of tidy things up a little, there was a wee pause last week, a little uncertainty as to what was to happen. The Bible will be carried out during the singing of this, so if you stay standing after the benediction, and Emily is going to go straight into singing As We Go Now after the Amen, and once the Bible has departed round the corner and through the door, then feel free to sit for the rest of the singing of the song, and I'll be carrying on out the door as normal. From the intimations in the order of service, just a wee reminder that the church golf outings this Thursday, I'm very much looking forward to joining everyone for my evening meal. I'm not a golfer, although I've got a friend that's just moved into the parish who is and is determined that she's going to get me on a golf course. And just the other one just to highlight is the cake-off that was scheduled for next Saturday had to be postponed, but there's still a coffee morning. The youth core group have still got a coffee morning organised for next Saturday, so please do come along and support that. I will leave you to read everything else that is there. As we gather to worship God this day, may God's word help us to grow, may Christ's love humble us, and may the Spirit gently challenge us. We stand to sing hymn 739, The Church's One Foundation.
Jesus Christ.
Let's come to God in prayer. God, we thank you that you created each of us uniquely, and in each of us is planted the image of you. As we worship you here, we praise you that without each other, your body is diminished. Without each other, the praise we offer is lessened. Without each other, our prayers lack completeness. So as we take our place in worship, we give you thanks for one another, for those with whom we get along, for those with whom we find it difficult, and for those in whom we see your love, and for those in whom we see hurt or despair or indifference. Lord, in our seeing, give us compassion and help us to see beyond the surface to your likeness in everyone. For all the times this week that we have looked at others and refused to see you in them, forgive us. For all the times we've tried to hide our true selves from those around, forgive us. For all the times we have imagined ourselves as ranking higher in your kingdom, forgive us. Forgive us and shake us down into the space you have made for us, beloved children, who have a place in your heart, in your church, and in your world. And renewed by that insight, help us to shuffle over and make room for others whom you too call beloved. Lord, you gave us a prayer to say together, and so we pray that prayer now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, back to school. How was your first week? How was your first week? Was it good? What class are you going into now, Fraser?
P4J.
And have you got a good teacher? Okay. And
I went back on Thursday.
Were you back on Thursday? Was it good?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm in P4G, but I don't go to the same school.
Oh, very good, very good. I didn't notice that the boys sat over here and then the girls sat away over here. I'm not sure what that's all about. So what class have you gone into?
P7.
You're into P7, so you've got the last year of primary school before you look forward to going up into the academy. And how about you girls? How did you get on? Are any of you in the same class? No? All right, so two of you are in the same class, but the others are all in different classes. Well, that's quite interesting, because that's one of the things we started to talk about last week here in church, was about how we're all here, but we're all different. And I thought we'd play a little game just to prove how different we all are. So I'm wanting a show of hands if you like something. I've got different things on my little... Do you want to come and join us? There's a seat here. Get used. There you go. Now, I would like to know from everybody, not just the children, if you like walking up mountains. Oh, there's a few folk doing a wee bit of persuasion there. A wee persuasion. There's a few kind of hands went straight up, and then one or two are a little bit hesitant. So we'll do quite that. Okay. How about, who likes swimming in the sea? Oh, so a few of us like swimming in the sea. Who prefers going to the swimming pool? Oh, about the same kind of number. Okay. What about, who likes to watch EastEnders? Oh, can it just be said, I think I've only seen three hands, three people. Okay, who prefers Coronation Street? A few more hands going up there, okay. When you turn on your radio in the morning, or as I do now, I ask Alexa, what radio station, do any of you like listening to Radio 4? Oh, a few Radio 4 hands. What about North Sound? We'll get a few North Sound folk. No North Sound people. Oh my goodness me. Anyway, what about... here we go. This will maybe sit the cat amongst the pigeons, so to say. But who here would describe themselves as cat people? few cat people. Who describe themselves as more doggy people? Lots more doggy people. Well, I like both. I like both, and I have both. I've got good old Scampi and the Two Rascals. What about, who likes ice cream? Now, keep your hand up if you prefer chocolate ice cream to plain ice cream. Oh, see, yeah, lots of differences here. Now, Emily, you might want to pay attention to this one. Who likes old hymns, the old-fashioned hymns? Okay, quite a lot of hands. Okay, but who likes some of the modern hymns? You're allowed to like both. Okay, that's... That was almost half and half. We'll note that, Okay, right, where are we going to next? Who likes reading crime thrillers? Whodunits, Eyeless, yeah. Crime thrillers. Or who might prefer a wee family saga? A few folk like the family saga. Okay. Who likes gardening? Lots of people. I know lots of people around here like gardening. I have to confess that my hands are well down for that one. Manse Garden at the moment can testify to. It's tomorrow's job. Or who here likes baking? Lots of people. I know that because you only need to go into the hub to know how many people like to bake in this place. So look at that. All of these differences that we have. But yet we're all here in the same place. And we're all here despite our differences. And we're all here loved by God. And I just always think that's such a wonderful thing. That we can come so many different ages and stages of life and be together and worship the one God and know that he loves us all. And he loves us all equally. No one any more than any other. Now, I know that some of you have brought your school bags with you, haven't you? Because you were invited to bring your school bags. Because I thought at the start of the school year, it might be quite nice to offer you and your school bags a little blessing. So can I get those of you who have brought your bags with you to come up and join in a circle? It doesn't matter if you've not brought a bag, you can join in the circle too. And what I'd like you to do, just we'll form a wee huddle around here, is put your bags in the middle. And, get these. There we can. Oh, you've got your bag as well. Brilliant. Right, you want to bring it? Put it down. Now I'll stand here. Join the circle, Sarah. You're going to put yours down. Right, pop your bag down. Right, all of these school bags. What kind of things do you keep in your school bags? Do you keep your gym shoes? No? Or do you keep them at school? And what about, do you have your homework? And have you all done your homework ready for tomorrow? Is tomorrow homework return day? Yeah. Is it all done? Some of you are not quite so sure, are you? Oh dear, I think mums and dads might be wanting to check this afternoon.
You didn't get homework.
You didn't get homework. You must have a really nice... Right, well anyway, I have this little blessing that I want to say just now to you guys, to wish you well for your new year at school, and to just hope and pray that it's a good year. So let's have a little prayer together for the children. Loving, living God, we place our school bags at the centre of the circle to mark the beginning of another school year. Bless these school bags and the children who carry them at the beginning of this school year. We place our school bags in the centre of the circle. Bless us as we travel to school. May our backpacks remind us of your presence. May we meet the daily challenges that await us each morning with patience, compassion, and love. And those of us who are not going to school, we remember our children and our teens, and we give thanks for all that makes their life good. And we pray for God's blessing upon them. Open their minds to the lessons they will learn both in and out the classroom. Help them make good friendships that build them up. Guide them in making good choices as they grow in wisdom and maturity. Stay close to them in the classroom, in the playground, as they travel to and fro from school. Amen. And I have something for you to put in your school bag. It's just a little card that says that you are blessed to be a blessing. And that's something that you can choose to do. And it really what it means is that we've just sent you off with a wee blessing, And maybe you can pay that forward and be a blessing to those around you. So you can be a good classmate, a good friend in the playground, a good friend at all the clubs and things that you get involved in. But this little card is intended to go in your school bag and just stay there. And maybe sometimes when you're ruffling through, you'll find it and be reminded what a blessing you are. Because you're a real blessing to us here in church. We love having you with us. But you can be a blessing to those that you meet outside the church too. So I'm going to give you all a little card to take. Yes, you can take one for your brother. And you put these in your school bags. That's a lovely thing to do. And if any, I've got spares, so if anybody would like one at the end of the service to take and pass on to someone that they know that's maybe going back to school this last week, then I do have some extras. And would you like one? Oh. You can pop them in your bags. That's a great... There you go. You like one to take away and put in your buggy as well. Okay, but I do have some extras. So if anybody would like one, just come and see me. They'll be in my pocket. Okay. Right, we're going to sing a song together. Once you get back to your seats. The boys are going to that side. The girls. We're going to sing together. Jesus puts this song into our hearts. It's number 692 in your hymn books.
This morning's reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verses 1 to 16. Let's listen for the word of God together. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives on his train and gave gifts to men. It was he who gave some of the apostles, some to the prophets, some to the evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity together in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. For him, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Amen.
Thank you, Kate. We stand and sing together hymn 646, Forth in the Peace of Christ We Go. Last few weeks, we have been thinking about what it means to be uniquely loved by God and to live in unity despite our diversity. Ruth gave us a wonderful introduction to the inclusivity of God's love. And last week, we explored from the second chapter of Ephesians the diversity that is found within the church and how that can be a strength rather than a weakness. Each of us unique, loved by God, and recipients of his extravagant grace. We are a diverse group of people, as we've already seen this morning, But we have all different stories, different understandings of who God is, and are on different journeys of faith. And yet all part of Christ's church, his body, all gathered here this morning in worship. Our reading this morning, the next stage of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, takes us from Paul being pastoral and reminding us of God's love, into Paul giving instructions as how we are to live together despite our differences. His aim is to bring clarity to what a community of faith should be, not a collection of isolated individuals, but rather a network of connected people who together make up something much more than merely the sum of their parts. And Paul doesn't hold back. He exhorts, begs the Ephesians to hear what he has to say. We can assume from the urgency of Paul's letter that there were problems in this young church, and he urges them to live a life that measures up to the standard of God set when he called you. Be always humble, gentle, and patient. Show your love by being tolerant with one another. Where are they being otherwise with each other? Were some taking advantage of others or dominating the community in an unhealthy way? Quite likely. This was a new religion. Everything was evolving. Paul wants to set them straight and get the groundworks, the foundations sorted out before things get out of hand. He therefore reminds them of the need to live up to the standards that God set, to be humble, gentle, patient, and to show love by being tolerant with one another. And it's not a bad thing for us to be reminded from time to time that what Paul is saying to the Ephesians, he is also saying to us. We claim the title of Christian, and therefore, as one writer I read this week put it, we wear his name. The Christian calling is a high calling, a high privilege, a high distinction. We wear his name, Christ's name. We therefore have standards to live up to. We should have high expectations of ourselves because others certainly do. One of the biggest turnoffs for people when it comes to religion is the hypocrisy people see in the followers of those religions. And people have, quite rightly, high expectations of us Christians. The writer I already quoted, Edward Marquardt, put it like this: a Christian is to be a loving, kind, and gentle, compassionate, and caring with his family, friends, and the world around him or her. We are to be generous to the poor and starving. We are to work for peace and justice. This is something that is expected of us, but more importantly, is something that we should expect of ourselves. Here's a wee story to help illustrate. It's a story of William Sidney Porter, Bill Porter, who was a young adult in New York City in the late 1890s, and he was trying to make it as a writer. Bill Porter didn't do so well, and so he worked as a pharmacist and then a bank teller before he got married. Unfortunately, he embezzled money from the bank just at the time his young wife died, leaving him with a daughter, Margaret, and he was also facing a jail sentence as a result. In 1898, he was in prison serving a 3-year term, writing some short stories for the New Yorker and sending what little money he made to support his child, Margaret. And while in prison, Bill needed a friend to help him, and a prison guard became his guardian angel, helping and caring for Bill and working with Bill to get him healthy. After 3 years, the time came for him to be released, and he approached the prison guard, his guardian angel, to thank him. At their last meeting, Bill Porter said to the prison guard, "I can't leave this prison with my old name. I need a new name for a new life. I want your name." The prison guard responded, "My name? My name is Otto Henry. For generations there have been Otto Henrys. Otto Henry is a good name, a respected name. You may have my name, but take good care of our name." And the young author said, "I will. I will take good care of our name." Well, he left prison and with his new name for a new life, and his name was O. Henry, and that name became one of the most famous names in American literature. But the key line of the story is when the young author, the prison inmate, said to the prison guard, "I want your name." And Otto Henry gave it to him and said, "Take good care of our name." This is what Paul is saying to the Ephesians. Take good care of our name. That's what Paul is saying to us. Take good care of our name. And this isn't always easy, is it? It's not an easy calling to live up to, because we all fail from time to time. There are times when our actions belie our faith. Things we say, things we do. We are complicated beings and as such don't always get things right. I know I certainly don't. Edward Marquardt closed his sermon on this text saying, So we are left with that divine and profound paradox. On the one hand, we are all sinners who miss the mark and who are in need of God's lavish grace to forgive us and save us. On the other side of the paradox is this: I beg you, I plead with you, I implore you, lead a life worthy of the high calling that you have received in Jesus Christ. Take good care of your good name. So we need to make a conscious effort to be better, to do better, to live up to the name we claim when we declare ourselves to be Christians. St. Francis of Assisi is attributed with saying, "Wherever you go, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." Whether or not he actually said those words doesn't matter. They're still good words to remember and to live by. The way we live, the words we say, the actions we take, all say something to others about who we are. They are our witness to our Jesus Christ. And we evangelize to others through this. Did you know that you were an evangelist? Which leads me nicely into the second part of our reading today. After reminding us all that we have to live up to our calling as Christians, Paul goes on to remind us that we have received gifts from God to help us follow our calling. Each one of us has received a special gift in proportion to what Christ has given. And it was he who gave gifts to people. He appointed some to be apostles, others to be prophets, others to be evangelists, others to be pastors and teachers. So I pose this question. Do you consider yourself to be a gifted person? Now, I suspect many of you will be thinking, no, not me, nope, I'm not gifted in any way. Well, I want to say this to you. You are. Each and every one of us is gifted. Being gifted under God is not the same as being talented. We often assume when we say someone is gifted, it's because we recognize in them a talent or being talented. That is, this is being better at something than the rest of us. For example, I don't think there's anybody here would argue that Emily is not a very talented musician. Of course she is. If being gifted is not the same as being talented, then what do I mean when I suggest that we are all gifted? Reverend Francis Wade explains in his sermon on our text, he said this: one way to understand these gifts is that they are the raw material and the tools that God gives us for a certain purpose. And Paul is quite clear about what that purpose is. It is for building the body of Christ. In other words, they are not for our benefit, but for the benefit of others. I was very tempted to read you Reverend Wade's sermon in verbatim, because he's many good things to say that help us recognize what our gifts and what our talents are. The raw material that is you. That might be your abilities, your special aptitudes, your interests, and maybe, yes, even your talents. But it might also be less obvious things like our backgrounds, how you were raised, insights gleaned from experiences, our culture that we live in. Reverend Wade reminds us that God went to a lot of trouble to make you and every one of us as unique as snowflakes. There is a special chemistry to you that makes you different from everyone else. Those who were raised in your household, those who share your background. Your gift might be that you are high-strung or that you're laid back. Happy, serious, depressed, concerned, anxious, eager, funny, emotional, supportive, or even confrontative. Notice that all the gifts are not necessarily the ones that we would want, but they are what we have been given for the business of life. They are the gifts that God has set before us. You are who you are, and you are a gift, and you are gifted. Do you recognize that? Ask yourself how Jesus would describe you, or how you would like to be described. What would he say about you? And you will find your answer. How about thinking about time, place, and relationships as gifts? If our gifts are to help build up the body of Christ, then time, place, and relationships are important, and they're needed. And those we find here in the space we call church, we come to a place, we spend time together, we're in relationship with each other because of our shared faith. Time, place, and relationships, gifts. And each of us here is a gift to those around us, because being here in this place at this time keeps us together. But of course, it doesn't stop here. We're not only Christians on Sundays. I know that might sound a bit obvious, but we are Christians outside of this building too. And so we take the gifts we've been given into our lives, sharing time, space, and relationships, not with just with those we've worshipped with, but with those we share our lives with, the people we meet in our community, the people we work with, play with. Remember what I said earlier about being evangelists, by simply living out our faith and being witnesses to Christ. These gifts we have are to be used for the body of Christ. And yes, that means that some of us will be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and be easily recognized as such. But we will each have a little of some of these roles within us. Reverend Wade helps assure us that we are who we are and to be affirmed in that. And he says in his sermon, you and I might lament our meager gifts. We might even wish for some that were more positive and attractive. But such wishing is a waste of time. There is a wonderful story that comes from Jewish tradition about a man named Simon. And Simon always wanted to be more like Moses. And that was his constant worry. He kept going to the rabbi and saying, Rabbi, I must lead my life so I live more like Moses did. And the rabbi told him once, Simon, God did not ask you why you were not like Moses. God will ask you why you are not more like Simon. And he goes on, so are you a gifted person? Yes, absolutely. Where you come from is a gift. Who you are is a gift. What you long to be are gifts given by God. Use them to the glory of God, to the building up of the body of Christ. Use them to make the world God loves a better place. Do that, and you will be doing the business of life. And we can use our gifts of being in our being ourselves in so many ways. Each year, we are encouraged to take some time to think about the stewardship of the church. It's a word used to describe our giving. Most commonly, we associate stewardship with the giving of money, but it also includes the giving of time and, yes, talents. And it is these gifts of time and talents that the Kirk Session agreed to look at this year. And I'm hoping that our exploration of Paul's letter to the Ephesians gives us a way into each of us thinking about what we share of our time and talents within and out with the church. And I want to start with saying the most precious gift you can give the church is your time here on a Sunday morning. Everything we do as a church community has got to be rooted in what we do here in this place. The time we spend in worship together is never wasted. And if you feel the dread of, here she goes, about to ask me to think about doing more, then please be reassured. If you genuinely feel that being here on a Sunday morning is all you can do, then I want to thank you and reiterate what I said earlier. You are a gift by being around those, by simply being here. If, on the other hand, you're sitting thinking, well, maybe I could give more time or use my talents in different ways, then there are plenty of opportunities to do just that. For example, you may or may not be aware that on the second Sunday of every month, volunteers go up to Wood End Hospital and help the chaplain there to gather folks together for a short church service. We've been told that the pool of volunteers has become depleted and more are desperately needed. Is this something you feel you could help with? If it is, let me know and I can point you in the right direction. Or perhaps you have some time midweek and would be able to help out at the hub for an hour or so. Or perhaps you would enjoy spending time with young folk at the Friday Cafe. There are lots of opportunities within our church community and in our community to give of your time and, yes, your gifts and your talents. We are called to be followers of Christ. Others look to us to see what that means. The way we live, the words we say, the actions we take all say something to others about who we are. They are a witness to our faith. And we can all use our gift of who we are in serving God, whether that's by being here together with our fellow Christians on a regular basis, or by getting involved in one of the many activities and opportunities for service that the church offers. And as Paul, in the concluding words of our reading from Ephesians today, says, "So when each part, separate part, works as it should, the whole body grows and builds itself up through love." We all have a place in the body of God, and we are all gifted, loved, and treasured. Amen. We continue to worship this time through our offering. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, lots of big words for ordinary people. God, you call us all to different roles with a unity of purpose. May we, along with these, our offerings, work together to build your kingdom. Amen. We sing together hymn 659, Put Peace into Each Other's Hands, hymn 659. Let's come once more to God in prayer. God, you offer us so many different ways to serve. You offer us so many ways just to be. Offer us too that we will discern the unique part you want us to play, whether apostle or prophet or evangelist or shepherd or teacher. Help us find a way to develop the gifts you have given us, and to serve you in all the wonder with which you created us. Lord, help us to live out your word, to lead a life worthy of our calling, with humility, with gentleness, with patience, with love, honoring and upholding unity and peace through the grace of you. May we live out your word in the world, in every place where we see your children suffer. May their suffering be ours and their release our constant work. May we live out your word in your church persecuted or blessed. May we work to uphold our brothers and sisters in Christ, and may we rejoice when your people are blessed. May we live out your word in our everyday, being humble, gentle, patient, and loving in every encounter we have with others. May we do this in the grace you have given us, grace that can overcome all manner of adversity, grace that inspires and sustains, your gift for us that helps to unite us all in love. Amen. Our hymn is 129, "The Lord is King, Lift Up Your Voice," in 129. Us out, O God, each one of us part of your body, each one of us important, known and loved. Send us out with your blessing this day and always.